Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a partnership that just, promised the world. Two giant names, hundreds of millions of dollars invested, aiming for this cutting-edge new supply chain.
Sounds like a guaranteed success story, right?
Totally. Except, well, we're diving into a story where that dream turned into this spectacular multi-million-dollar nightmare. We're talking about the deal between Apple and GT Advanced Technologies, GTAT,
You're
back in
reading.
2013.
Ah, yes, the Sapphire Glass Initiative.
That's the one.
This wasn't just some casual agreement either. Apple put up serious, serious cash. They advanced GTAT, what's it, $578 million?
Exactly, $578 million. The plan was huge. Build this colossal new manufacturing plant, pretty much entirely dedicated to making sapphire glass.
Specifically for future iPhones and the Apple Watch, which was just coming onto the horizon then.
In GTAT, they were set to be the exclusive supplier, locked right into Apple's world in a massive way.
Yeah, on paper, it looked like the perfect win-win. GTAT gets this huge investment, a top-tier client.
And Apple secures a potentially critical component, maybe even a differentiator, with a dedicated supplier.
But despite that massive investment, all the hype, the entire 5-year deal didn't even make it a year.
Not even close.
Right.
Less than 12 months later, October 2014, bang, GTAT files for bankruptcy.
And the language they used, I mean, in the court filings, it was pretty stark. GTAT called the agreement oppressive and burdensome.
Oppressive,
And
wow.
Apple, for their part, they basically admitted they were caught off guard by just how fast it all fell apart.
So clearly, something went profoundly wrong behind the scenes. This whole thing has become a classic, almost a textbook example, really a cautionary tale about negotiation failure.
And procurement mismanagement, even at the highest levels.
Absolutely. So that's our mission for this deep dive. Using the sources you provided, we're going to peel back the layers, figure out exactly what went wrong.
Yeah, look at some of the frankly shocking details and quotes that came out during the collapse.
Find out what happened to all that money.
And most importantly, pull out the key lessons, the takeaways you can apply to your own negotiations, your own business relationships, whether you're the big buyer or, the supplier trying to land the big deal.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let's jump right in then. What went wrong? The source material points to a whole bunch of factors, but right at the heart of it were some critical procurement and contractual missteps.
Right at the top, you have to talk about the contract itself. It was incredibly one-sided, just created this massive power imbalance that heavily favored Apple.
And that basically loaded enormous risk onto GSAT.
Huge risk. And get this, the imbalance wasn't subtle. Apple kept total flexibility for themselves. They had zero contractual obligation to actually buy any sapphire.
Right, zero, even after funding this huge dedicated plant.
Zero obligation to purchase. Meanwhile, GTAT was locked into exclusivity. They couldn't sell the specialized output to anyone else. They were completely dependent.
So Apple gets all the potential upside, no commitment on volume.
That's
That's
right.
quite something.
It is. And then there's a penalty structure, just
Yeah.
astonishingly brutal.
Okay, tell me about that.
If Apple wanted to cancel orders, delay them. No problem for them. No penalty. But if GTAT was late delivering, oh boy, steep, steep fines.
How steep.
The source gives a specific figure, $320,000 fine per sapphire wool for missing a deadline.
$320,000 for one bull. What did one of those things actually, cost GTAT to make?
Around $20,000 per Budai. That was the actual
So the
cost.
fine was 16 times the cost.
Exactly. 16x. This wasn't about making Apple whole for a delay. It was punitive, completely disproportionate.
Okay, that's just incredible. It makes sense then why the source says GTAT managers knew it was one-sided, but felt they had to fall in line.
Yeah, the thinking was apparently this is what other Apple suppliers signed up to. But, that belief didn't change the fact that the terms were fundamentally unsustainable for this specific project with this level of
We
risk.
really didn't. That imbalance just meant GTAT had absolutely no safety net. Any little hiccup, any delay.
Could spiral into an existential crisis for them because there was no cushion in the contract, no alternative market. They were totally exposed.
And speaking of hiccups, those came thick and fast, which ties into the second major issue, the source flags, the totally unrealistic technical demands and timelines.
Yeah, this wasn't just like scaling up something standard. Apple was demanding something unprecedented. These sapphire crystal boules, they had to weigh 262 kilograms.
262 kilos. How big is that compared to normal?
Far, far larger than anything produced commercially in the industry before. It was a massive technical leap.
So not just making more, but making something fundamentally different and bigger. And GTAT, Their main business wasn't even mass manufacturing like this, right?
Precisely. They primarily sold the furnace equipment used to make sapphire. It was like asking someone who sells ovens to suddenly become the world's biggest, most complex bakery overnight.
Okay, got it.
So you have this monumental technical challenge jammed into these incredibly aggressive timelines, all driven by Apple's product launch cycles.
Which are famously tight.
Exactly. And then they hit construction delays, literally had to rebuild factory floors because they couldn't take the weight. That caused critical schedule slips.
And the contract had no wiggle room.
None. No flexibility for delays, no room for the inevitable issues you get with unproven technology at scale. Mm. The project was almost, you know, doomed to fall behind.
Designed to fail from a timeline perspective, almost. Which leads to the third big failure point. A critical lack of foresight. Oversight and risk mitigation just weren't there.
Exactly. GTAC going all in, exclusive supply, huge dedicated plant, all without a guaranteed minimum purchase volume from Apple. That's flagged as a grave strategic risk.
Because if Apple's demand didn't show up, or the tech stumbled.
Which both happened. There were simply no contractual clauses to protect GTAC. It really was putting all their eggs in one basket.
A basket with a shaky bottom, it sounds like.
And it wasn't just the big strategic stuff. The source points to neglecting even basic tactical risk mitigation, like backup power for those super hot critical furnaces.
Let me guess. They skipped it.
Deemed too expensive, according to the source.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And of course, power outages happened, which ruined entire production runs, wiping out batches of those incredibly difficult to grow expensive boules.
Wow. So simple things, relatively speaking, weren't accounted for.
Right. Contingency planning was basically absent, technically, contractually, managerially. So small issues just snowballed into a crisis.
Right.
Early warning signs got missed or ignored.
Which brings us to the fourth major issue. Questions around poor decision making and stakeholder management, especially, it seems, within GTAC.
Looking back now, agreeing to those terms, the source uses words like ignorant or irresponsible. You really have to ask, why did they sign that deal?
The prestige factor.
It seems likely. The sheer allure of partnering with Apple, this huge name,
yeah.
It probably blinded GTAC's leadership to the actual risks involved. A major failure in executive judgment and due diligence.
A more objective look might have screamed, danger.
Probably. And then as the problems mounted the technical issues, the delays communication just seemed to break down.
How so?
Well, GTAC reportedly kept telling investors they were on track, that everything was fine, success was just around the corner, right up until the bankruptcy filing.
Even when they knew internally it was failing.
That's the implication.
Yeah.
This lack of transparency, maybe combined with a reluctance to push Apple for renegotiation, perhaps fear of the NDA, or just losing the deal entirely.
It just made everything worse, prevented any chance of a course correction.
Exactly. A breakdown in governance, really.
The quotes that came out later from people involved or watching,
yeah.
They really paint a picture of how bad it got.
Oh, absolutely. There's one from an internal GTAC memo that became public. We were bleeding cash every day, and there was no way out. Just brutal honesty there.
Chilling. And a bankruptcy lawyer looking at the contract.
Didn't mince words, called it. So one-sided, it was effectively a death sentence for GTAC if anything went wrong.
A death sentence? Wow.
And you feel for the engineers? One former GTAC engineer was quoted saying, Apple set us up to fail, but we signed anyway.
Yeah.
Captures that feeling of being trapped.
That's heartbreaking, really. Just knowing it's doomed, but having to push forward.
And a supply chain analyst summed it all up. An unprecedented gamble. A technology no one had built before, under terms no supplier could meet. At a pace no engineer could manage.
Just impossible on all fronts.
And maybe the most pointed observation came from a procurement consultant. When the world's most powerful customer says, do it, sometimes you forget to ask, can we survive it?
Oof. That hits hard. It speaks volumes about power dynamics in business.
Definitely.
So speaking of costs, what actually happened to that huge chunk of money Apple advanced? The $578 million. Did GTAC spend it all? Did Apple get it back?
Well, Apple had actually dispersed $439 million of the $578 million prepayment before GTAC went bankrupt.
Okay, so $439 million out the door. Did they recover that?
They did eventually, but not directly from GTAC's, you know, empty pockets. It took about 4 years. Apple recovered it by taking ownership of and then auctioning off all those sapphire-making furnaces.
The ones bought with Apple's money.
Exactly. Somewhere between 1,400 and 2,000 of them. They liquidated GTAC's core manufacturing assets, essentially. And crucially, they got the $439 million back, but without interest.
So Apple got their principal back, eventually, after a messy liquidation. But the project failed, the supplier collapsed. Doesn't sound like a win for them either, really.
Not at all. It was a painful recovery, I'm sure. Plus, Apple faced a class action lawsuit from GTAT Investor.
Ah, alleging Apple contributed to the bankruptcy.
Precisely. That got settled in late 2019 for $3.5 million. Apple didn't admit wrongdoing, but settling still costs money and time.
Right. So even the dominant player took hits. Lost the supply chain, legal costs, probably some reputational damage on the specific project. It truly wasn't a win for anyone.
Absolutely not. Which brings us to the most valuable part of this deep dive for you, the listener, the practical lessons. What can we actually learn from this disaster?
Let's shift focus there. What are the key takeaways if you're negotiating a big deal or managing a critical supplier? The source pulls out several clear points from this failure.
Okay, first big one. Minimum order guarantees. MPOs. This case screams the need for them. They protect the supplier, especially when the buyer drives huge investment.
Like Apple funding the plants but having zero obligation to buy. An MPO prevents that ghosting after you've built the factory for them.
Exactly. If you're the supplier, the source says you must push for an MPO. If the buyer won't commit to exact numbers, structure it differently. A minimum number of units per quarter, or a guaranteed percentage of their forecast.
Tie it to milestones, maybe?
Yes, that can work too. Manage risk incrementally. GTAT's huge problem was that zero purchase obligation in the contract.
Got it. Guarantee some business if you're going exclusive. Second point, balanced penalty structures. That 16x penalty GTAT faced was just insane.
It has to be proportional to actual damages, not just punitive. The source suggests liquidated damages clauses, reasonable amounts, clearly linked to the buyer's actual loss, maybe capped.
And crucially.
Force majeure. Include carve-outs for things beyond the supplier's control, like those power failures at GTAT. That shouldn't trigger massive penalties.
Makes perfect sense. Third lesson. Technical feasibility. You have to validate it with pilot runs before going big. You can't just jump to mass production of something totally new like those giant bully.
Absolutely. The source recommends a specific clause. Pre-production validation. Prove the tech works at scale in a pilot before commercial volumes start.
And get sign-off from both sides.
Yes. Co-signed technical readiness assessments. Not just the supplier saying we're good, and build in flexibility. Adjustable timelines after the pilot based on real data, not rigid, unrealistic deadlines set from day one.
Okay, crucial. Fourth point. Exclusivity needs exit conditions. Being locked in like GTAT with no alternatives and no guaranteed orders. That's a trap.
If the buyer demands exclusivity, you have to negotiate escape clauses. Yeah. For example, maybe exclusivity ends if the buyer doesn't order X percent of the forecast.
Or if their product launch gets delayed significantly.
Exactly. Or limit the scope of exclusivity. Maybe it's just for one specific product, letting you sell elsewhere for other things. GTAT being totally locked to Apple with no other options was fatal when things went south.
Good point on limiting scope. Fifth lesson. Establish a formal escalation and dispute resolution framework up front. Don't wait for a crisis.
Right. Build it into the contract, like a technical escalation clause. If things go off track, both sides must meet, review, figure it out before penalties fly.
Maybe a trigger for renegotiation if costs blow out unexpectedly.
Yes, a renegotiation trigger for major unforeseen changes. And a clear, structured path for mediation or arbitration. Avoid jumping straight to lawyers. GTAT had no formal way to collaboratively resolve issues. It just became demands.
Building that bridge for dialogue.
Okay.
Sixth, pay attention to supplier financial health, especially in high-risk, high-investment deals. Build in buffers.
Yeah. The source suggests maybe clauses for monitoring supplier financials, quarterly reports on key ratios, perhaps. Consider performance bonds or escrowed funds tied to milestones.
Joint reviews for big investments.
Could be wise. GTAT's financial structure was just too fragile for the hits it took from delays and the way the prepayment worked.
Seventh lesson, aim for risk sharing, not just risk dumping. The Apple GTAT deal basically dumped it all on GTAT.
Which, as we saw, isn't really collaborative and actually hinders problem solving. The source suggests shared risk mechanisms. Maybe the buyer covers some costs if yields drop unexpectedly low due to tech issues.
Or they share the capital investment. Buyer pays for specialized gear.
Exactly. Apple, having zero contractual risk, removed their incentive to really help solve problems, which ultimately hurt them too when the whole thing collapsed.
Shared risk means shared incentive to fix things. Makes sense. And finally, number 8, visibility and early warning mechanisms. need ways to see problems coming.
Yeah, you can't just sign the deal and hope for the best. Contractual requirements for things like production readiness reports, direct site inspection rights for the buyer, threshold-based alerts if output drops below X, the supplier must notify immediately and provide a plan.
Apple had site visits, but maybe not enough transparency.
Seems like it. Visits only work if people are willing to raise the red flags early, which apparently didn't happen effectively here.
Okay, those are great specific points. Pulling back a bit, the source also highlights some broader rules for any high-stakes negotiation based on this case.
Yeah, some general principles. First, beware, take it or leave it, deals in critical partnerships. Apple's rigid terms looked strong, but killed the flexibility needed to actually solve problems together.
Second, don't underestimate the risk of technical firsts. Those giant sapphire bulls, that was R&D, not just production. The contract didn't reflect that technical gamble.
Third, negotiate more than just price. Flexibility, MPOs, risk sharing, those structural things are often more critical to survival than the per unit cost. GTAT lacked those safety nets.
Fourth, aim for shared risk, shared success. Squeezing suppliers super hard doesn't guarantee success. It can actually make them overpromise and underdeliver, leading to collapse, like here.
Fifth, continuous oversight is vital for complex deals. Can't just set and forget. Procurement needs to stay engaged, track progress, validate readiness, help troubleshoot.
And finally, sixth, rigorously align technical and financial due diligence. Did Apple fully vet GTAT's ability to actually become this massive manufacturer, financially and operationally, not just conceptually? The source implies maybe not enough.
Yeah, really stress testing the supplier's capabilities for a totally new role is key. Scenario planning, pilot validations, quantifying minimums needed for stability, building that into the deal structure.
So what's the big takeaway here for you listening? The core lesson from Apple GTAT is powerful, maybe even counterintuitive. Even the most dominant company with all the leverage.
Crafting contracts that look like a total win on paper
can still face huge losses and strategic failure if the partnership isn't built for mutual sustainability, if it isn't built on robust shared risk management.
That win you get by dumping all the risks, it can blow up in your face. Hundreds of millions lost, supply chains collapse, massive headaches, if the other party is basically set up to fail by the terms.
It's a stark reminder that squeezing too hard can be a self-inflicted wound in the long run.
Definitely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's go back to that quote we heard earlier. When the world's most powerful customer says, do it, sometimes you forget to ask, can we survive it?
Think about that. How does the pressure of a huge opportunity or just the allure of a big name client influence your risk assessment? Are you really pushing for balanced terms or are you tempted to just say yes? What are those hidden costs, the long-term risks you might be overlooking if you don't build in safety nets for both sides of the partnership?